Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
A joyful Lent to you all, my brothers and sisters. Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. I hope it's going well in your Lenten journey thus far. I'm grateful, of course, for this holy season of Lent. And just a reminder that Lent is indeed a season of joy. It is a season of living in the presence of the Lord, of drawing closer to Him through, yes, disciplines and sacrifices, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, all these things. But it's a way of, I think, just altering our perception a little bit and reminding us of the important things in our life, in our faith, that they're not always what feeds our senses or feeds our passions. But in other, it's a new way of looking at things, of reminding us that true happiness, true fulfillment comes from the life that only God can bring and has brought to us through the life, death, resurrection, ascension of His Son and His pouring out of His Holy Spirit upon us as well. I was thinking of new ways of looking at things, and I was reflecting, of course, on St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up this Sunday. It's still going to be a high solemnity in our house, even if it is his feast day is suppressed because of the Sunday. But St. Patrick's Day coming up. Now, remember, St. Patrick, born in the British Isles, but then taken captive over into Ireland, and he served as a slave there for so many years. He was released, returned home. He wasn't released. He escaped and returned home, and then he discerned this call, to come back and preach the gospel amidst his captors. And I started thinking about this in terms of freedom. You know, freedom is oft touted but rarely defined virtue in our society these days. But I don't think that's the kind of way that we typically think of freedom. That we're going to submit once again to a yoke of slavery, as it were. But this kind of slavery is slavery to the gospel, slavery to the cross, slavery to the Lord. And when we're there, regardless of our physical circumstances, we are experiencing the greatest freedom that we can possibly understand, right? It is for freedom that we have been made free. But the freedom that we have been, for which we have been made free, is that freedom which does come from the Lord again. So just a reminder to look at that, look in this holy season of Lent, look at the circumstances of your life through those new eyes, through that new perspective, that even Jesus hanging on the cross, contemplate that even He hanging on the cross was really a happy, fulfilled man. He had no physical pleasure, he had no physical freedom, but he was a free and happy man according to the freedom and the happiness, the beatitude that God gives us. You can find no greater freedom, no greater happiness, no greater joy than being in the center of the will of God. So that's my little Lenten Fervorino for us this morning as we're looking ahead into this St. Patrick's Day weekend. We've got a great show today. I am very excited about it. First off, we have Katie Ware, who comes to us from the Church of St. Mark, where she serves as Faith Formation Coordinator. But she's here to share a different aspect of her life and ministry, which is through music. And she's going to share a couple of tunes with us. Looking forward to that. Our new seminary rector and vice president, Father Joseph Taphorn, is also with us in studio. And then we're going to hear a little bit about that very close now Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Sounds very exciting. Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Nazzo is also with us. He's going to share with us and tell us, bring us all up to speed on where that's coming as well. All right, so that's where we are. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're off into our first break. When we come back, Katie Ware from the Church of St. Mark shares with us her musical talents. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future, with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are talking with Katie Ware, who is, as I said in the intro, the Faith Formation Coordinator at the Church of St. Mark. She's in her second year as tutor for the Fellows Program at Anselm House as well, an ecumenical Christian study center at the University of Minnesota. Anselm House has been on the program here before. And we are here talking today about her musical albums. But first of all, Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I know that you are a convert to the Catholic faith. Can you give us just a very brief synopsis of your conversion story?
Sure. I grew up in a loving evangelical Baptist family, and just I'm so grateful for the gifts of really knowing the Bible. And when I was in college, I began to just have some questions that were more related to history. How does this connect with everything else? And I also was thinking, through most of Christian history, people didn't know how to read. A lot of Christians didn't know how to read. How did they live out their faith? And I think the answers to that are prayer and the sacraments, which eventually led me to the Catholic Church.
Wow. Okay. Well, obviously, we could have a whole segment just on that. I would love to hear more. But tell us a little bit about when did you first pick up a guitar? How did you get interested in music? When did you start writing music?
Sure. I've always been involved in music since I was quite little and wrote a lot of bad music growing up. and then in my 20s, I was in a band and called Porchlight. And then in my late 20s, I started creating some solo albums. And so this is my third solo album that I've just recently completed, called And All the Marys. And it focuses...
Yeah, tell us about that. Well, there's a theme to it.
Right. Yeah, it focuses on women in the Gospels. So each track is a different woman from the Gospels. And I really enjoyed the process of digging into her story, reading the scripture passages related to that woman saint, and then creating a song that expresses her story, and particularly how she encountered Christ and how that encounter changed her life and what we can learn from that.
Wonderful. Well, I'd love to unpack that, but I think before we need to do that, we need to hear some. And you're going to play a couple tracks for us today?
Sure.
All right. And this is, folks, just in case you're listening, this is not recorded. We're not taking it off the CD. She is right here in studio with her guitar. So, what are you going to play for us first here, Katie?
Sure. I'll start with the first track from the album, which is called The Virgin Spinning. There is a tradition that Our Lady was spinning purple and scarlet thread for the veil of the temple when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. It's a story we find in the Proto-Evangelion of James. And so I just thought that was an interesting metaphor to take kind of weaving and spinning women's work as a metaphor for God working in our lives.
Wonderful. Let's hear it.
Here we go. I'm spinning the scarlet and purple woman's work, but God is spinning the gold I see, weaving a tiny thread like me into the grand design to be the saving
of the world, chosen as the roving fiber, clean and combed, then dropped and spun and quickly wound upon the spindle tightly bound to serve the one I'm wound around, the Savior of the world. Son of the Most High, let it be, let it be. Son of God, let it be. Let it be to me. Let it be to me. I marvel at his ways. He brings me into his weaving room. My heart is stretched upon the loom. The God-man knitted within my womb, the Savior of the world. Son of the Most High, let it be, let it be. Son of God, let it be. Let it be to me. Let it be to me. First to hear, first to hear and believe. First to love, first to love and receive the Son of God. The Son of God. Say, but I will always answer yes, though a sword may pierce my breast. The Father of my Son knows best, the Savior of the world. Son of the Most High, let it be, let it be. Son of God, let it be. Let it be to me. To me.
Wow, Katie Ware, and that is The Virgin Spinning from her latest album project, All the Marys. Beautiful, Katie, beautiful. And the first thing I need to say is that it has a little bit of that haunting, almost Irish ballad feel to it. So on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, perfect. I love comes, Celtic music.
Yeah.
Really influenced by Celtic music.
I imagine. Perfect. Yeah, that's very good. I like that. Another thing that really struck me about that, of course, it's the Virgin spinning, and I'm glad you set the tone for it with the tradition of Mary spinning cloth for the temple when the Annunciation occurred. And then you threw in that kind of a reference there to Jeremiah, right? Knitted in my womb.
Yes,
so
right.
The spinning, the weaving,
or
and then the
psalm.
Knitting. Oh, the
is
psalm. Yeah,
psalm
right.
One?
Anyway, beautiful, beautiful tying things together. So, tell us about some of your reflections now about, now that we've heard the song, about anymore, how did this personally affect you as it was coming together?
Yeah, well, actually, that song I wrote as I was in the process of becoming Catholic. So
oh, okay.
it really helped my friendship and relationship with Our Lady as well, and of thinking about what was her fiat about, and how does that relate to my own life? And even though you know, there were things that I felt like maybe I was also giving up in becoming Catholic, because it was just unknown, I didn't know what was ahead of me, that even those things I was able to say to God, I want what you have for me, like Our Lady did.
Right. Wonderful. Love it. Okay. So now that's the first track on the album.
Yes.
All the Marys. And so that kicks us off. And then we've got all these different foci here. May I share what the
sure.
other, who
Go
the
ahead.
Other, so we have Elizabeth, the prophetess Anna, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lullaby for the flight into Egypt.
Yes.
Oh man,
it's an
that
instrumental.
Sounds amazing. Okay. Very good. Samaritan woman with a hemorrhage, the Canaanite woman, Martha believes and sees, Mary of Bethany and the sinful woman, Salome's request, and the women prepare the spices. And then finally, Mary Magdalene closes the album. Now, tell us a little bit about that, the last track.
Sure. Well, of course, you can't tell the story of women encountering Christ in the Gospels without talking about the resurrection. And who is best to talk about the resurrection among the women? Of course, Mary Magdalene, the first witness.
Right.
But she is a very interesting figure because she was also healed by Jesus. Luke tells us that she was healed of 7 demons. Which there's a tradition surrounding that maybe it was one for each of the 7 deadly sins, but we don't know exactly. But interesting thing to think about. So she was healed by Christ, but then she joined along with these other women that followed Christ and cared for his needs. So her story, actually, if I'm trying to tell her story, I can tell the story of so many women that followed Christ and also his story. So this song, because it was last in the album too, it's a nice way to kind of close and retell the whole story as a kind of epilogue.
All right. Can we hear that one too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Yeah. So this is Mary Magdalene from All the Marys. Katie Ware, please.
Through the dark of my mind, fettered and bound by 7 demons, through the dark came his voice that cut through my chains by calling my name. Mary Magdalene, you're set free, now come follow me. Mary Magdalene, you're set free. So I joined with the women who followed him, starting in Galilee and unto Jerusalem. Ooh, ooh. We cared for his needs, saw his great healings, heard his best stories, waved palms in Hosanna, saw him clear the temple, cooked his last supper, overheard from the stairs about the bread and wine, his body and blood, his time had come and all the men ran away. But somehow stood at a distance as they nailed him up. We couldn't help in our usual ways, but at least we made sure he was not alone that day. We heard his cry, saw his last breath, felt the earth shake and the sky turn dark, and all creation wept with us as they lowered his body. Our Lord, our Lord, our Lord.
Nice. Katie Ware, Mary Magdalene is the track. All the Marys is the album. Wonderful. Wow. So how about this one? What's one way that this particular composition, this song, has influenced your own life and faith?
Yeah, I think I was really struck with the sense of the women being with him. Mm-hmm. There are a few imaginative bits, like I imagined the women sitting on the stairs to the upper room overhearing things.
Yeah.
But it's very likely that they cooked the supper.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before I heard the line. Who did cook that meal? Anyway, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Probably the women.
Yeah.
But just that journey, both I think Matthew and Mark tell us that all the disciples forsook him and fled from the garden when he was arrested. We know that John and Peter eventually followed him, and John we know is at the foot of the cross. But the women are mentioned there very faithfully at the foot of the cross. And just thinking about what that experience would be like, they didn't, it's clear that none of the disciples really understood that the resurrection was coming. He had talked about it, but they didn't really understand. And so to imagine what it was like to stand there at the foot of the cross and think that this was the end, and where was this kingdom that he had talked about, and this life, everything seemed to come to a complete stop there, and what that would have been like for them. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Just mm-hmm. they're in their faithfulness to the very end, and even preparing spices for his body, and they're wonderful, wonderful examples for us.
Yeah, faith in the midst of devastation, trial, suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Katie, it's been a pleasure having you on the Rediscover Hour. We're so grateful that you can come in. God bless you in the work that you're doing, and I hope that, again, the album is All the Marys, and it is Women Encountering Christ in the Gospels. By Katie Ware, Wehr. You have a website or anything, Katie?
I do. It's okay. katiewaremusic.com.
And it's K-A-T-Y.
K-A-T-Y-W-E-H-R.
Music.com.
Music.com.
Excellent. Katie, God bless you. Thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks.
All right. So we are, great stuff. And music is a gift from God, right? It's one of those things where we know that it will be part of our life. Please God, in eternity, in eternal life, we are told of the choirs of angels and the great hymns of praise that are sung in the midst of the presence, the direct presence of the Lord. And yet the Lord has seen fit for us to partake in that here on earth. Well, turning the page to our next guest, someone who probably celebrates, and as the general calendar in the church recommends, St. Joseph's Day, a little bit more than St. Patrick's Day, which comes just a couple of days beyond St. Patrick's Day on March the 19th. Father Joseph Taphorn is with us, who is the new rector and vice president of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. Father, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To be here.
Well, we just want to get to know you a little bit, Father. I mean, as we've seen some things and we've read some things, but for those who listen to the program, so can we start just right at the beginning and say, all right, where'd you grow up? How was your growing up life? That sort of thing.
Sure. So I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I was born and raised in Omaha. So a little bit unusual to be assigned outside of the Archdiocese of Omaha. That's where I'm a priest of. But happy to be here. So I grew up in a good Catholic family, product of Catholic schools my whole life. My folks are still daily communicants and are in their elder years, but they're enjoying life and life in retirement. I have a brother in Omaha and then three sisters who are kind of in the Midwest, and I'm the youngest of the group of five. So
okay. All right. So take us into, how about your vocational call? Where did you start sensing that maybe the Lord had the priesthood in mind for you?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, my mom tells a funny story. I don't really remember this, but there was a little neighbor girl across the street. I do remember Andrea. We used to kind of play together. Mm. Apparently, one day I came home I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I said to my mother, well, I think when I grow up, I'll either become a priest or I'll marry Andrea.
Okay,
Got it figured out. So somehow okay. I had that in the back of my head. I probably didn't think more seriously, a little bit during high school about priesthood, and then certainly more intentionally in college. So mm-hmm. I think my kind of story, you might say vocation calling, was I really got turned on to my faith in a more significant way during my high school years. I went to an all-boys Jesuit high school, mm-hmm. and I got involved in a prayer group there, and it was a great priest campus minister who really just kind of announced the gospel to me, really. Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, even though I was a product of a very faithful Catholic family and Catholic education, sometimes you have to hear it in a new way.
Sure.
Maybe sort of that idea of making that sort of adult decision to follow and not just sort of rely upon kind of habit or custom. And so I was blessed with that experience as a young man in high school, and then in college, just grew deeper in my faith, was fairly serious, going to daily mass by that time, receiving reconciliation regularly in spiritual direction. I had a great group of friends in college, including your auxiliary bishop, Bishop Cousins. So,
yeah, now let me jump in right there.
Sure.
Because somebody let slip here, actually, our next guest, Enzo Nadazzo, let slip that when he was talking to Bishop Cousins about you, I guess the first thing Bishop Cousins said to him was, yeah, I was in jail with Father Taphorn.
Well, that,
so you were in jail with Bishop Cousins.
That is true. That is true. So,
do you care to explain that, or should
we probably should explain that. Now that you've thrown that out there, Patrick, we probably ought to give a little context for that. So, it really was a result of pro-life work. So, you may remember, at least our listeners old enough may remember, a movement in the the late '80s, early '90s, called Operation Rescue. It was actually the largest civil disobedience movement in our country. Oftentimes, we think the civil rights movement, but there are actually more pro-lifers who were really engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience at abortion centers, and not just for the point of trying to make a political point, but really to intervene to save the lives of unborn children. Mm-hmm. And so we got involved in that during our college years. In a sense, when you're in college, you're kind of free to do stuff like that. Don't have a family, don't have other responsibilities. So that was sort of part of our story. I could probably talk hours with different stories about that, and jail stories. We've told some of the seminary and some of these stories.
Okay,
so,
great.
But no, it really was a special time to grow in friendship with Bishop. Back then I called him Drew.
Yeah.
And many other good friends as well. So I really had a blessed experience in college, and then decided to discern during that time to go to seminary following college. And then I was ordained 4 years later, and I've been at it for 21 years now as a priest.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And of course, thank you for your yes. And thank you for your yes for coming up here to the white winter wonderland here.
That's right.
But at the same time, in terms of your background and everything, what motivates you? Obviously, seminary is more than just it's more than just academics. It's more, but that's a very important part too. We're called to love God with all of our mind as well.
That's right.
What are some of the things that you what is your background? What are some of the things that fire you up intellectually speaking about
sure.
the faith?
So kind of a little bit of my own background. I was worked for an associate pastor when I was newly ordained for 3 years, and then fairly young on my priesthood was sent to Rome to study canon law. So I have an advanced degree in canon law,
okay.
And then that kind of set me in working in our archdiocesan offices, our chancery offices, and I spent 15 years there doing all kinds of administrative work. And then eventually, after that, got into college campus ministry, and then now find myself here. So I find, you know, just throughout, certainly the canonical disciplines are always fascinating, but in working with young people and college students previous to here, being able to, I think, articulate the faith well in a compelling way, being able to walk with people, being able to answer questions, but I think probably even the most important might be just introducing people to the Lord and teaching them how to pray, how to grow in relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and I think that that flows over well into seminary formation. Mm-hmm. We're certainly about, as you mentioned, the intellectual formation, and we have master's programs and master's degrees and all that kind of stuff. But I think probably the most important linchpin, you might say, in formation, what John Paul II says really the heart of it, is the human formation.
Right.
That we really need to mold our personality, John Paul says, so that we can be a bridge and not an obstacle in leading people to Christ.
Yeah.
And I think we see, to be quite honest, in the church, examples where maybe clergy and other leaders have been obstacles, to put it nicely, but how beautiful when we can be a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is the way forward, to connect people to Jesus Christ and help them to grow in their faith in a way that would not be possible otherwise. So the priest has a very unique role in bringing the sacraments and leading the people and discerning gifts. We think of the roles of the Jesus was priest, prophet, and king, right? Mm-hmm. And so all those roles are active in the life of a priest. And so it really has an opportunity to just make all the difference in the world. A good priest can make all the difference in the world to help people fall in love with Jesus and grow in their faith and really bring them the greatest gift we can possibly receive. And that, of course, is the gift of eternal life.
Absolutely. Well put. Anything that you're particularly excited about in terms of working with young men who are priests in the making?
You know, they're a lot of fun to be around. And as I mentioned, sort of my previous assignments worked a lot with young people in the college ministry and then certainly worked in administration. I see this role as kind of putting them both together. So on the one hand, there's a lot of sort of big picture things to do administratively, and it's a big operation and a lot of programs. But probably the funnest part is just spending time with the seminarians and accompanying them. Pope Francis speaks a lot about accompaniment, which John Paul spoke of as well, and Pope Benedict, and this idea of walking with people. You know, I think of the phrase, or the example, and I think it's in Mark's gospel, where Jesus calls the 12 and he invites them to come up on the mountain and he spent time with them.
Right.
And that's really kind of the paradigm for priestly formation, just going to spend time with Jesus. And that's how the apostles were formed. And so by analogy, if we as formators, priest formators, and certainly our lay faculty as well, who are very talented and very gifted, sharing life with the seminarians. Also, as you know, at the St. Paul Seminary, we have a pretty robust deacon formation program. Mm-hmm. We have lay students and master's degree programs. So there's really the whole church, in a sense, is hungering for this formation.
Right.
And if we can share life together, and that's meals, and that's prayer, and that's conversation, it's spiritual direction, it's sacramental encounters, it's teaching, it's all those things. And throughout that process of spending time and accompaniment, really at the end, we have a well-formed individual who's ready to serve the church.
Yeah. And I was going to, being a layperson who has served in leadership in the church, my next question was going to be about the diaconate formation, the lay formation that's also there at the School of Divinity and things that are going on there. Any great vision, or what, maybe I should ask this, what's your understanding of how priests and deacons and laity all work together to forward the mission of the church?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I do think that there's distinct roles, and they're also complementary, of course. So
right.
We know that you know, the priest is to, as I mentioned, be priest, prophet, and king. And it doesn't mean that you know, he's sitting on a throne. But what we mean by that kingly role, that administrative role, is to call forth the gifts of all the baptized and to help order them and to help discern them. And so the priest obviously is going to be involved in sacramental roles. He's going to be involved in teaching and preaching, administration. The lay genius, you might say, is really primarily to be in the world. So the work here at Relevant Radio, for example, and just all the great efforts of evangelization that's done so well here. I know in this archdiocese, I'm getting to know kind of some of the individuals. We're having Enzo speak about the men's conference. This idea that we can announce the good news and form our lay people to go into the workplace and be in their families and be leaders, that's really going to transform the culture. There certainly is a need for certain lay people to have a particular role of leadership, maybe within parishes, maybe to assist kind of in a formal structure of the church. But I wouldn't want sort of people to think, well, the only way I can serve the church is if I have an advanced degree and work in a seminary, work in a parish. Really, the primary role of the laity is to do what I can't do, or what the archbishop can't do, which is to be in families and workplaces and politics and medicine and law, business. And that's really where the rubber meets the road and where we need to begin to transform our culture. Mm-hmm. So the more that we can equip people to understand the faith, to live it, to be an authentic witness, obviously, again, I think the spiritual life here has to be key. You can't give what you don't have, the old principle. So in order to share the faith and share your relationship with Christ, you first have to have it and spend time with that.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you. Any other kind of pieces of vision that you have, anything that you're particularly excited about the seminary as a whole?
Sure.
And in the future of...
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things, you know, it's funny when you first show up, people say, what's your vision for the seminary? You know, well, of course, I said, well, I'm not going to like turn around the furniture just, you know, for the sake of change, right? Or suddenly say, well, we're going to stop doing this, but do this. But I think at least a couple points of emphasis have been coming to my own mind, which is I'm a big fan of the Holy Spirit. I'm a big believer that the Holy Spirit and a relationship with the Holy Spirit has to undergird everything we do. And that's really where the power and the fire and the energy and zeal comes from. And I think sometimes as Catholics, we're maybe a little bit unsure of who the Holy Spirit is or even how to exercise spiritual gifts, or we're a little bit cautious in that. So I would love to begin to just talk more about that and help our seminarians be a little more docile to the gifts of the Spirit, and also especially with the view that, again, if they can understand them and sort of live that part of their life, they're going to help do that for the lay people they lead, how to call forth those gifts in the laity. So I think that's important. And then I think, as I kind of hinted on too, just this idea that the seminary has to be a school of prayer. And really, we all have to form schools of prayer, but we really, that's, prayer is kind of like exercise, right? People always say, well, I really ought to pray more. It's hard. It's hard to get that discipline. And it's not just about working harder, but it really is about choosing to give myself to God and stay in communion with Him all the time. And that takes some instruction and some practice and some conversation. It takes being able to speak to spiritual directors and confessors and formators, and we want to provide that. So I think just to help our seminarians feel like when they leave the St. Paul Seminary, they are just deeply in love with the Lord and rely on Him every day, docile to the Holy Spirit, that's going to really be, I think, what we need moving forward. And that's going to have a tremendous impact in the church here in the upper Midwest, as I'm learning.
Yes, so, that's right, the upper Midwest.
The upper Midwest,
yeah, exactly. Okay, so we got the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and prayer.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like a...
That's a good formula, yeah. There's probably other things,
formula.
Too. Yeah.
Right. No, but I thank you for that. And again, I look forward to seeing... It sounds like, the Lord is really putting some things in your mind, on your heart, and I look forward to seeing how He continues to lead. Before we let you go, Father, would you be willing to offer an on-air blessing for our listeners?
I'd be honored to. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joseph Tabhorn, new rector and vice president of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here.
Yes. All right, we are going to head into our next break. When we come back, Enzo Randazzo, Men's Evangelization Manager, is with us to talk to us about that very near Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people, you talk about your faith, you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Oh, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio's Golden Valley's 1330 AM studios. Right. All right. I got those things in. Just a good conversation going on with our guests, Katie Ware and Father Joseph Tabhorn, and our now-time guest, Enzo Randazzo, Men's Evangelization Manager for the Archdiocese. Welcome back, Enzo.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy to be here.
Yeah, always good to have you on the program. And you have been busy putting together this little thing we call the Men's Conference.
Yes, little thing called the Men's Conference.
I bet it's eating up pretty much all every waking hour at least. Let's just start from the very beginning. What's the Men's Conference all about?
The Men's Conference here at the Archdiocese, it's a wonderful, I would start with this, it's a wonderful tradition. It's become a tradition for men of the Archdiocese. And I think in many ways, this year's conference sort of embodies what the Men's Conference on the whole is all about. Our theme is arming men of integrity. Mm. And as Bishop and I were thinking about what's fitting for this this Men's Conference, We asked ourselves that question. What is the Men's Conference? It's exactly that. We have men of great integrity in this archdiocese coming together to be armed, to receive that armor, you know, so that they can go back into the world and be the providers, protectors of their families, spiritual protectors, right? So that they have what they need. They have the tools that they need in order to defend the faith, defend their families against, right, the trials in the world, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, obviously, as we're all striving to live lives of holiness and to be those men of integrity that you're talking about, one might think to themselves, well, yeah, but how are they going to accomplish all that in a day? And right. I would be the first to admit, all right, it probably takes more than a day, but we need those little mountaintop experiences, don't we, to remind us of all the importance of this. And so how are you going about that in a day's time? How are you going to try to accomplish that?
Yeah, I like that, the mountaintop experience. It's like coming together in that day. I mean, we need these sort of things throughout our lives. I mean, through the Office of Evangelization, we offer, you know, we have the the rallies throughout the Archdiocese. There's plenty of men's groups guys can plug into, and those can be those regular things throughout the year where you can sort of be armed, mm-hmm. where men of integrity can be armed and go back into the world. And I think the men's conference is the largest one of those. It's just the most men coming together to do this. So how do you do it in one day? Well, we have Patrick Madrid, who's mm-hmm. coming to speak, just an excellent evangelist, theologian, and father of... I meant to look up how many kids he has. I mean, he has like
some kids,
8, 9 kids, which is exciting. It's good to have last year we had a priest, right? And so Father Richter, and this year we have a lay person. So we're sort of playing off that. I mean, we're all Catholics coming together. He's an excellent speaker, right? He's going to give us just charge us to be these men of integrity that are necessary in the church. And then, of course, there are workshops and offered by Bishop Cousins will be offering a workshop. Patrick Madrid will also be offering a workshop. We have Exodus 90 coming, which is this new movement. Again, a lot of the movements for men throughout the Catholic Church in the United States, resources for men to be those men of integrity. They're coming. They're giving a workshop. But by and large, just coming together with so many men, eating good food. We got food trucks that all the guys are excited about, tacos, barbecue, pizza, and all of that is combined all together. Mass in the morning, right? It goes from 9 to about 4 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
The conference, not
the
mass.
The conference. Yeah, no, not mass.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, right. Just making sure, yeah.
So between those times, it's just you pray together, you have opportunity for confession, you have opportunity to be just charged and given everything you need to go back and be that Catholic man that is so necessary these days.
I suppose we should mention this is coming up just over a week, or actually if you're listening on Sunday, just under a week, on March 23rd.
March 23rd,
yeah.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. All right, just making sure, yeah. And it's at St. Thomas Academy again.
Yep, St. Thomas Academy. It's fitting because it's the men's high school, right, for the Catholic men's high school in the Archdiocese.
It all ties together.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, as the guy putting all this together, the director of this,
oh, gosh.
Are you ever able to glean some spiritual fruit for yourself? I mean, do you receive, or is it just like one big work?
For me, it's a great blessing. I think that it comes down for me just, I don't know, in my work, it's learning to trust in God, and then I'm always very moved by the men, just the men who come. Fathers, young men, single men, guys thinking about priesthood, and right, there's something about men coming together, right, as iron sharpens iron, as it says in the Psalms. There's something about men coming together that bears a lot of spiritual fruit.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think that I receive a lot from it. Yeah.
Okay, well, good, and I like how you put that you receive it through the work that you're actually doing, and that's a good reminder that work doesn't mean that we're not. Able to receive things from God.
No, right? It's good work, good labor.
It absolutely is. Okay, so take us, if people, and by the way, again, information about the men's conference available on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if I can do that.
Let's
so
go ahead.
You can certainly go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. You can go to thecatholicwatchman.com as well, and all the links are there. Registration is $30 a person, but... If you register as a group, there's a discount. I think it's like two to five is a certain discount, and then above five, there's even more of a discount. So we want to encourage men to bring your brothers, bring your sons. It's a good event for father and son, grandfather and grandson to come together. So come in as a group, register as a group. And I would add as well, right, the scripture that comes to mind for me is, I think it's Peter, who says, "Be sober and alert, for your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour."
Yeah.
Be solid in your faith, right? That's to me what embodies this men's conference. It's a time to come together and learn to be sober and alert. As men, we need to be sober and alert. We need to be aware of the spiritual realities that surround us. And protect ourselves from it. That's why we're being armed as men of integrity, you know.
Which is, okay, so now we're just chatting, but what that just spawned in my head was that, and we talked about mountaintop experience, I think of Mount Tabor and the Transfigurations, which St. Peter, of course, partook in, and he was able to see what you exactly just said, the spiritual realities of what was going on there, but he had to take that with him back down the mountain, back into the plane, into the everyday life. So.
Yeah, and into the ends of the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, to the ends of the earth, right?
Yeah, I think that men need to be reminded, especially in sort of peacetime, I would say, like comfy times, you know, it's good. It's good to be in these times that are peaceful and we're cozy. You know, the economy's good. Work is good. This is how certain men feel. But we need to be reminded that there's a battle going on, you know. We need to be reminded of what our calling is. So right. That's what these mountaintop experiences, you might say, again, it's like a magnification of that reality that there's something going on. There's a battle going on that men need to be aware of. You know, we can't forget it. We don't want to overemphasize, you know, violence and battle or something like that. but we don't want to forget it. You can't forget it. You got to find that balance in between. And that's what coming together, I think, especially in these times as men, is all about. Of course, I think by and large, especially in the church, there is a battle going on right now. Mm. It's actually very apparent. So we can run away from it, mm-hmm. right? Or we can be armed.
Yeah.
You know.
You can engage, right?
You can engage.
And not only to be reminded that there's a battle, but also whose is the victory as well.
Right.
To be reminded of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And we share in, this is an image I love from St. Ignatius of Loyola, is our Lord is a king, but he's a warrior king. Mm. He goes to battle with the men. So we go to battle with him. He's not sitting in a throne far away, sending us, you know, pawns ahead of him to fight his battle for him. No, he fights with us.
Right.
And then we share in that victory with him. So again, that's what it's all about, coming together as brothers to be to take on our armor, to learn the strategies we need in order to defend the family, to defend our faith.
Mm-hmm. Putting on the full armor of God.
Yeah.
All right. All right, wonderful. So take us a little bit beyond this, and you mentioned this, but go into a little bit more about what the Catholic Watchman is all about, what men's rallies are all about. How can men who attend the men's conference, because it may be this mountaintop experience, but it's meant to be just one in a series of things that go on.
Right. It's not just, and we talk about this all the time at the Office of Evangelization, we don't want to be an event-based,
right?
I don't know, ministry, if you can even call it. It's not about the event, right? It's about what you take and what you go out into the world. But that's what we're trying to do. At the Office of Evangelization in particular, we're trying to support, provide resources, be there so that we can be Catholics, which is at every moment of every day, you know, so that we can be faithful to our Lord. So going out into what we're going to take from that, and that's the thing is, like I said earlier, it's become an annual tradition. So men look to the men's conference as this tradition. There have been men who've been coming to it. You know, it's been going on, I think, 15 years. This will be the 16th. We're in our 16th year of the men's conference. So they look to it as exactly that, a time where we come together. We go to different workshops. We talk with other guys. We kind of network, have that fraternity. And from that, there's this sense of being prepared so that, right, you can go back into your homes. And it's exciting, too. You know, all sorts of things are born from it. I think these days, there's kind of we see it. There's attack on the family. There's attack, I think, even in particular on men. And the Catholic Watchman, in particular, is a response to that. It's a positive response. It's men saying, no, you know what? God created human beings, male and female. He created them. And it means something to be a man. It means something in particular. So the Catholic Watchman is a movement coming out of that. It's not a club. It's not like some side sort of, I don't know, exclusive thing. I would see it as a movement to try to really hold on, embrace, and preach the reality of what it means to be a man. Christ is a man. The image of Christ, the bridegroom, coming for his bride, the church, means something for us men in particular. So that's a very long answer to your question.
No,
I realize.
That's good. Right.
But that's the reality we want to embrace.
Yeah. Where does the role of prayer fit in with all of this?
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about prayer. Well, we start with Mass, and we end with adoration. And prayer is going to be huge. We have a workshop as well on prayer, too, for men who want to attend that. But look, it's so important as spiritual protectors of our families, of our faith, that we pray constantly, pray all the time. And gosh, the role of prayer, I would say it's in as much as we're being armed, right? We're arming men of integrity. boy, what is prayer in that imagery? It's everything. It's a part of everything. If we're not praying, we're not prepared. We're not sober and alert, you know. Mm-hmm. So we need to pray. It's a huge part of the men's conference, obviously. Bishop Cousins will lead us in adoration at the end of the day, and Archbishop Hebda will give the homily at Mass. So prayer, you're going to pray if you come to the men's conference in particular. And you're going to know when you leave that that prayer is an essential part of Christian life.
Yeah, so. It is. It's the air we breathe, right? It has to be.
It ought to be, yeah.
It ought to be, right. Okay, very good. Just since you're here and we can get a little bit behind the scenes, how many guys are you hoping for show up this year?
Well, yeah, we're hoping. Last year, we were pushing 900. I think the most that the men's conference has ever had was like 1,200 or so. So we're trying to get there again. We want to get as many guys as possible. We're prepared to get as many guys as possible. So it's the largest men's conference in Minnesota, and
really
that's take that, La Crosse, Wisconsin. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute, that's my diocese now, yeah, where I'm living, right?
I think what I mean by that is like in the Midwest, it's the largest men's conference as well. It's in Minnesota and in the Midwest. If someone wants to challenge me on that, you can find my email online. But we want as many men together as possible. Like I was saying earlier, when men come together, it's significant, it's meaningful, and men sort of have a better sense of their role as spiritual protectors of their church and of their family.
I think that's really true, and one of the biggest enemies that we can face sometimes as men is a sense of isolation, that we're doing this all on our own. There's no assistance. There's no help. Nobody else is doing the things that we're doing or trying to do, or nobody else is struggling with the things that we're struggling with.
That's exactly, you know, I have to plug Exodus 90 here, who they'll be there at the men's conference. So it's kind of a buzzword right now, I guess you might say. Guys are hearing, what is this Exodus 90 thing? They're very much embracing and emphasizing the importance of fraternity, how we're not alone. Mm-hmm. And they'll be there to talk about how through Exodus 90, these 90 days of asceticism and prayer, men have really found just great healing and a great sense of mission through fraternity, through knowing that they're not alone and that they have a mission born just from the fact of being a man, but certainly going further into being you know, what your vocation is, you know, what it means to be faithful. So
yeah, wonderful. All right, can you give us the details one more time about where guys can find out about
it? All right. The Archdiocesan Catholic Men's Conference, Arming Men of Integrity. You can sign up at thecatholicwatchman.com. You can also go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. It's going to be at March 23rd, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at St. Thomas Academy. Sign up online, thecatholicwatchman.com, and hope to see you there.
All right. Enzo Renadazzo, Men's Evangelization Manager for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. As always, Enzo, great to be with you.
It's a joy, Patrick.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very good. All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, we've got more info. We'll repeat that info on the men's conference and as well as all sorts of things that you can do to deepen your faith. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar. A place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul?
Yes.
You are a man.
I am. So I'm told.
And a man of integrity, as far as I know.
Well, I try.
Yes, very good. What do we got coming up, Paul?
Well, you're invited to the 2019 Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. This year, the theme is Great Spiritual Doctors of the Church, Series takes place Fridays during Lent, March 8th through April 12th, and it runs in Schuller Hall following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross in the Upper Church. Free and open to the public, light refreshments will be served, and a free will offering will be taken. For more information, call 651-925-8800.
You are invited to a four-week Lenten Prayer of the Heart workshop on Tuesdays, March 19th through April 9th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. So that's starting this coming Tuesday. Each evening runs from 7, 8:30 p.m., and the workshop will help you quiet your soul and enter more deeply into prayer. The cost is $40 per person. It includes lectures, materials, large group Q&A, and snacks. Find registration and details on the event page at archspm.org. If you have questions, contact Susanna Parent, 651-291-4411, or parents@archspm.org.
All men, fathers, and sons are invited to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference Saturday, March 23rd, St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. Theme this year is Arming Men of Integrity with guest speaker Patrick Madrid from Relevant Radio. The conference runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Doors open at 8 a.m. The Sacrament of Reconciliation will be available. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchmen.com or email enzorendazzo@rendazzov@archspm.org.
Grandparents, Paul, you're one of those too.
I am.
Yeah, very good. Well, you, as well as all other grandparents, are invited to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Tuesday, April 2nd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for a talk on passing on the faith, what grandparents are doing right, and where do we go from here. Speakers include Andrew Blake, Director of Campus Ministry and Dean of Students at Totina Grace High School. Kim Doyle is also going to be there. She's a Grandparent Ministry Coordinator at the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemont. This event is free. Free. Did you hear that? Free.
It's free.
It's free. And registration is recommended but not required. So you can just decide.
We recommend it.
Yeah, okay. Register at the events page on archspm.org. If you got questions, contact Rita Spice at rspiess1@msn.com, or call Carrie 763-438-0487.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake invites you to join them for a one-day Called and Gifted workshop, Saturday, April 6th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Just know
a little bit about that.
Yeah, I do. I was going to say, just as Father Taphorn said there about calling forth the gifts of the laity, that's an excellent way of doing it, is to partake in a Called and Gifted workshop, and I would be happy to see any of our listeners there. If you've not yet gone through, I highly recommend it. All right, well, you know what, Paul? Next time, we will be into the actual season of spring when we come together next. Isn't that amazing?
My heart.
I know, right? It's so good. And spring means big things for life, faith, and hope. So on the next Rediscover Hour, Catholic Rural Life Executive Director Jim Ennis will be with us again to talk about what this season means to those in rural settings. Also, Father Brian Park, who is the pastor of Annunciation, is going to talk to us about the solemnity of the Annunciation, as we'll be right on the heels of that, or right before that. And Relevant Radio's own Mary May will talk about the Christ Brings Hope Awards honoring Archbishop Bernard Hebda. That's what's coming up next time, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.